Blog Talk Radio.
School shootings have become more commonplace than American pie and baseball in the American culture. Interestingly enough, despite all the negative propaganda that has been put out in the media about minorities, non-whites, blacks, you know, those that don't run the elite, that don't run the establishment, it is the majority, the perceived majority, that's being affected by these school shootings. And it is the majority that is actually engaging in these school shootings. And what's funny is yesterday I was listening to NPR. Yes, I do listen to NPR because sometimes they do have a lot of very interesting topics, things that come across my mind that I may want to discuss later on in the future. So I listen to NPR, and I go ahead and I listen on my own. And come to find out, just yesterday, that after what's happened in Parkland, Florida, and Santa Fe High School in Texas, that we have white suburbia complaining about the schools turning into prisons in the order of protection, in the order of safety, in the vein of keeping our children safe. You know, with the decreased entry points, metal detectors, more police presence, things like that. White suburbia is crying that their schools are turning into prisons. They're looking like correctional institutes. And what's funny is that suburbia, white suburbia, is using the very same arguments that the minorities in the affected neighborhoods in urban cities and inner cities and places like that, where metal detectors and controlled entry points have become the norm. Before they became the norm, they raised those very same arguments. And where was these people when the inner cities, when these high schools, these middle schools, these schools where the student population is predominantly minorities, where were they when these schools, these students, these teachers, these parents of students were saying that their schools were turning into prisons? Where were they? When we were crying out that our schools were turning into prisons, they looked the other way. They cited student violence. They cited the fights and the riots. Mind you, not a single mass school shooting ever occurred, but they cited the frequency in violence. They cited the minority population and how prone to aggressiveness they were as a reason to ignore the fact that they were turning these schools into prisons. Now that they are turning these predominantly non-minority schools into prisons, they want to complain. They want to argue. And they're looking for support. They want others to rally behind them and say, let's save our schools. Let's not turn our schools into prisons. But where the hell were you when these other schools were being turned into prisons? For less. But here you have mass school shootings, multiple people dead. And it's happening more and more, more often and more often. This year alone, there was a news report that the number of school shootings is up in the teens as far as since 2018 began. It's averaged about one school shooting a week. And what's interesting enough, what's ironic actually, is the fact that the same day of the Santa Fe High School shooting, there was another school shooting that evening at a graduation ceremony in Georgia. In Georgia. So for the bouts of fighting that occur in inner city schools, and the fact that they say that they're bringing in drugs and they're bringing in weaponry and things like that, not a single school shooting, we had to go ahead and put up metal detectors, bring in more officers, controlled entry points, more security. But at these suburban schools where you have multiple people dead, you have a bunch of white kids being bullied by a bunch of other white kids, decide to come in and shoot up the place because they're tired and they're sick and tired of being treated the way they're being treated, and they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Despite all that and despite the deaths, we don't want to do the whole metal detector and more police force methodology. We don't want to do that. It's turning our schools into prisons. Well, what about these inner city schools? Should they be prisons? Just because they're minorities, but because you're white people and you're entitled, and because this is supposedly the land, your land, even though you're quick to forget how you annexed that land? Are we supposed to forget that? And because of that, you're self-entitled and you shouldn't have to deal with what the inner city schools are dealing with? Mind you, when we talk about the school shootings and we talk about the movement that has occurred since the school shootings with the students and the walkouts and everything like that, decrying school violence, the crying gun violence, while these schools in these inner city neighborhoods, these students come from communities that are riddled with gun violence. And they want to talk about that, but no one listens to them. No one listens to them. But we want to listen to the non-blacks. We want to listen to non-minorities as they talk about gun violence in their schools. That's what we want to talk about. That's what we want to listen to. That's when it's time to do something. I saw a post earlier this week talking about the only time something's really going to be done about school shootings and mass school shootings is when a black person or a minority person shoots up a predominantly white school. That's when you will see real change occur. And you can't lie, that is true. Because when minorities, when blacks, Latinos, and others do something of that nature, it grabs people's attention and they have to do something to keep these people in line. But when their very own is out there doing things, they're troubled, they're medicated, they're bullied, they're having problems. Let's find ways to circumvent these issues. Let's change the gun control laws. And if you don't know the culprit in the Santa Fe High School shooting, little white boy, Dimitri something, the weapons that he used, yes, they weren't his. He didn't buy them. They were his parents, his dad or stepdad. They were obtained legally through rigorous gun control laws. And it still happened. They came out with this whole assault rifle ban. Oh, let's ban assault rifles so we can protect these kids. Okay, you're going to ban assault rifles. Next you know, another student going to come with a shotgun and a handgun. Then what? You're just going to ban all guns? Nobody can have guns? Then what's going to happen? There's going to be a mass stabbing like they do in Europe? Then what? What are you going to do? Ban on knives? The weapon is not the problem. Gun control is not the problem. People is the problem. People control is the solution. Being able to deal with people, help people cope, and help people learn not to fuck with other people if they don't want to be fucked with themselves, because every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Newton's law. To every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. It may not happen today, it may not happen tomorrow, it may not happen next week, but you push the person to the point, and like J. Cole said, everybody's a killer, you push them to the limit. It's people control, not gun control, not an assault rifle weapons ban, not a gun ban, not more gun control laws. It's the people. We need to deal with the people. The gun did not pick itself up and shoot. A rifle did not pick itself up and go off. A rifle was not affected by emotions, was not triggered by emotions, is not motivated by emotional triggers. It is just a tool. If somebody went on a mass hammering spree and started hammering people in the head, and it happened often, are we going to ban hammers too? While people still get to feel the way they feel and not have a reasonable outlet to vent their frustration? Is that what we're going to do? Listen, America. Listen well. It's not gun control. It is people control. And without that, this thing is going to keep happening over and over and over and over again. Anyway, I'm your host, Stevie B, for the Lyrical Elitist, a.k.a. TLE TV. Going on, everyone. I'm your host, Stevie B. This is TLE TV, a.k.a. the Lyrical Elitist. A while back, T.I. participated in a boycott and a protest because of the Houston's restaurant in Atlanta over, they want to say, discriminatory seating practices. They held a boycott. They held a rally. They had a protest. The video since went viral. A lot of people came to their support. And we thought that maybe, you know, black people would continue to keep the hope alive, keep the dream alive, keep the fight going. But apparently it must have died down considerably because three black actresses apparently found themselves being escorted out of that restaurant and arrested by police, prompting T.I. to boycott Houston's again. Now, if we have this call for a boycott, was there a call to end the boycott of Houston's? Did Houston's make some kind of arrangement with black folks where they say we're not going to fuck with you anymore? Because I never got that memo. I thought that boycott was supposed to be something that's ongoing. Apparently, maybe these actresses never got the memo and decided to keep going to Houston's anyway. But the story goes, the Houston's chain in Atlanta has been accused again of racial profiling after the alleged assault of three women by an off-duty police officer. Now, this apparently happened on May 13th and it was brought to light by T.I., who shared footage and photos of actresses Brittany, Marie, Lucio, Asia, Sherelle Epperson, and Erica Walker on his Instagram page. On the evening of Mother's Day, the women were meeting friends at the restaurant, and while the kitchen was closed, they were reportedly allowed to use the bathroom. After spending about 10 minutes in the restroom, the officer who was working as security for the restaurant asked them several times to leave the premises. Walker and Lucio were then dragged out of the bathroom towards the restaurant's back door. Epperson filmed the incident as the officer accused the woman of assaulting him. The women were taken into police custody, where they were arrested and charged with criminal trespass. Lucio was also charged with felony obstruction. The police report paint the women as the aggressors, claiming one of the women punched the officer as he dragged her out of the restroom. She is the aggressor. You literally have your hands on her, dragging her out of the bathroom, and she punches you in retaliation, but she is the aggressor. If she is the aggressor, you are the instigator of the aggression. But we're not getting into that. We are seriously concerned about the level of force that was used, Griggs said to 11 Alive. We believe they were profiled and subject to police brutality. Atlanta police shared with the outlet and an investigation will be launched into the officers' actions. After claims of excessive force were brought to our attention, the chief directed the Office of Professional Standards to review the officers' actions. Prior to that, the chain released a statement standing with the officers' actions, and this is what the statement said. The evidence we have seen thus far shows that three women arrived about 30 minutes after closing time. After closing time. They went to the restroom as a group after being told that the restaurant was closed. The three stayed in the restroom for more than 10 minutes and refused to leave despite repeated requests from several managers to do so. Eventually, an off-duty Atlanta police officer was summoned, with whom one or more of the women got into an altercation that led to arrest. Based on our current understanding, we believe our managers responded appropriately to this unfortunate situation. Now, T.I., who previously led a boycott of the location with Rick Ross when a group of black women were kicked out of the restaurant, they messed that up. But apparently, the earlier protests ended with the chain closing permanently in March. So, okay. So one chain closed in March. These people went to another one. Hold on. A chain of Houston restaurants. One of them closes for racial profiling and discriminatory practices. Y'all jump up and down, have crying racism and everything like that. You say you're boycotting Houston. Are you boycotting Houston, that one location, or are you boycotting all of Houston? And they say that the boycott ended because of that store location closed, that restaurant location closed. But Houston's is still open. The Houston's is still in operation. So now you're going to another location to protest because of what happened. Now, I'm not going to go to a restaurant if the restaurant is closed. I'm not going to go to a restaurant if the kitchen is closed and I'm not able to order. And I'm definitely not going to spend 10 minutes in the bathroom. What are you doing, taking a shit? What, you doing drugs? I mean, what the hell's going on? You're doing each other? I don't know what the hell you're doing, but you don't need to spend 10 minutes in the bathroom of a closed restaurant where the kitchen is closed, so there is nothing going on in the restaurant to begin with. The fact that they even let you through the door to come in is beside me, but you know what? We're not going to talk about that. Let's talk about how the fact that they were advised that the restaurant was closed. These three black women, wannabe called actresses, were told that the restaurant was closed. The kitchen was closed. They are closing. You need to use the bathroom? All right, we'll do you this favor. So with the benevolence of Houston's restaurant and the management, they decided, you know what, even though we are closed and our kitchen is closed, so there's no more ordering going on, we will allow you to use the bathroom, but you need to go in and go out. But instead of doing that, they sat there and they stayed there in the bathroom. What were they doing in the bathroom? We need some surveillance footage in the bathroom to find out what the hell was going on in that bathroom. Honestly. For them to take 10 minutes. You'll take one hell of a shit, all three of y'all. And all three of y'all needed to be in the bathroom. Maybe two of y'all could have went in, one stay outside maybe. None of y'all decided, hey, we need to go. Y'all refused to go after being told it's time to leave. But now it's racial profiling because you were dragged the fuck out of the bathroom after being told the restaurant is closed, after being told the kitchen is closed, after being told there are no services going on at this time. We did you the favor. We did you the gracious goodness of being allowed to use the bathroom, and you abused that good graciousness. You abused that favor. That's the problem with what's going on with black folks, black women in particular. And I know I'm going to get a lot of flack on it, and I don't give a damn. If there are rules in place, you are not above the rules. I don't care who you are. I don't care what race you are. I don't care what gender you are. I don't care what sexual orientation you are. There are rules that are in place. There are rules to follow. The restaurant is closed. Your ass shouldn't even gone in there. They should have done like a lot of gas stations do and be like, look, bathroom is out of order. We are closed. No, you cannot come in. Whatever it is, they should have just came up with an excuse to say, hell the fuck no. Hell no, you cannot come in. Because if you're going to come in and act like that and act like you're not going to leave and something that is closed, you're out of your goddamn mind. You're sick for saying that it's racism. This is not racism if you can't even follow simple instructions. If you refuse to obey orders, if you refuse to acknowledge a simple policy that if an establishment is closed, that means it is closed and your ass should not be in there after closing time unless you're part of the staff that is there for the closing down procedures. Boycott this Houston's, retarded. T.I., I like you, but you're retarded for this. Maybe you had something with the first one, but this one here, no. The restaurant was closed. The kitchen was closed. Now, I'm telling you, if this is the truth, though, Because there's always more than one side to every story. If, in fact, the restaurant was closed, if, in fact, the kitchen was closed, and there was no operations going on, if, in fact, that were true, this is not racism. This is black people feeling entitled. This is black people doing whatever the fuck they want to do. This is the black woman in her natural state doing whatever the hell she feels she wants to fucking do because nothing applies to her. The black woman is like the white man above the fucking law. She only answers to the white man. And that only when it benefits her. Anyway, boycott Houston's, my ass. That should have continued regardless of what location y'all were boycotting. It's Houston's. It is a corporate ideology. It is a corporate theme. It is a corporate mindset. It's not just one store location, restaurant location. The boycott should have never ended if y'all were boycotting Houston. And all the so-called addresses should have got the memo. Don't go to fucking Houston's. Houston's don't like black people, black women in particular. That's all I got to say. Fuck you, T.I. Anyway, I'm your host, Stevie V. This is TLE TV. Visit me on Facebook, facebook.com/lyricalelitist or facebook.com/StevieB. Visit me on YouTube. Subscribe. Hit that bell button. Click that bell button so you can get the notifications. YouTube is TLE TV. And also Twitch, www.twitch.tv/TheRealStevieB. And, of course, you can always go to the website, www.TheLyricalElitist.com. Again, I'm your host, Stevie B. Have a great, wonderful day. Let's stop breaking the law, people. Not everything is fucking racism. You're a store owner. You see what's been going on in the news as far as retail chains and black folks, from Starbucks to the fitness club to just anywhere, period. Like Fuego in Tacoma, Washington, black people have been getting unnecessarily harassed by retail owners and managers and employees. But let's say you are at a retail chain or retail franchise, a black person enters your store. Based upon everything you've seen in the news, you're starting to wonder, is this person about to rob my store? What do you do? Well, let's go ahead and break some news.
The news at 6 starts right now. Good evening, and thanks for joining us. I'm Jessica Aguirre.
And I'm Raj Mathai. Not just shoplifting, but racism. A South Bay woman says Macy's employees at the Oak Ridge Mall wrongly accused her of shoplifting because simply the color of her skin. Tonight, Macy's is responding. NBC Bay Area's Marianne Favre joins us in San Jose with this exclusive story. Marianne.
The incident happened last Tuesday here at this Macy's store at Oak Ridge Mall in San Jose. And the customer, who is African American, says that a sales associate told her something that convinced her she'd been profiled.
Conte Moore says on May 8th, while shopping at this Macy's store in San Jose, a sales associate accused her of stealing this bottle of cologne. Moore, who teaches autistic children, says the associate then searched her purse and took off her jacket without her permission. Moore says when the saleswoman didn't find any cologne, she made a comment that made her think she was stopped and searched because she's black.
She said, "People like you have been stealing from Macy's. They've been coming and stealing stuff."
We reached out to Macy's, which told us its customer's bill of rights explicitly prohibits profiling. The company also sent us this statement saying, "We apologize. The situation is currently under investigation and is being reviewed. Macy's is a company that values acceptance, respect, and integrity and does not tolerate discrimination of any type." Moore says she was loudly accused in front of dozens of customers.
"I feel so humiliated that day, and up to now I'm still feeling the pain."
She says she waited nearly 2 hours to talk to a manager who finally arrived and took these notes about the incident. Tonight, Moore has a message of her own from Macy's.
"Don't judge people by the color of their skin.
We spoke with legal analyst Stephen Clark, who is also an attorney, and he told us that stars are allowed to search your purse if there is probable cause that something has been stolen, but they cannot search your clothing. Moore tells me that she now plans to pursue legal action against Macy's. Reporting live in San Jose, Marianne Favreau, NBC Bay Area News.
Thanks for tuning in to TLE News, the Lyrical Elitist. I'm your host, Hassan Labduni, a.k.a. The Real Stevie B. Now, in a story that's coming out of California, a black woman by the name of Conte Moore, C-O-N-T-H Moore, is accusing Macy's of racial profiling and stereotyping in what appears to be the latest case of black while shopping or not. But as the story goes, it's first reported by KNTV/TV. Conte Moore, who is black, said she was shopping on May 8th at Macy's in San Jose when a store associate, a sales associate, accused her of stealing a bottle of cologne. Now, she also said that after the accusation, the store employees performed an invasive search without her consent. After searching her, they found nothing. They searched her purse. They took off her sweater. They checked her person. They found no cologne missing. But somehow, for some reason, they felt like she stole cologne. Now, Moore said, as I just mentioned, that they searched my purse and stripped my sweater off of me. She said the employee made comments that indicated her suspicion was based on racial prejudice because the employee said, "People like you have been stealing from Macy's, stealing stuff." Moore said that the employees loudly accused her of shoplifting in front of other customers, in front of other employees, and she had to wait nearly 2 hours, before being able to speak to a manager about this wrongful accusation. Now, Macy's has since issued an apology and told the TV station that racial profiling is prohibited by company policy. And in the statement, they say, "We apologize. The situation is currently under investigation and is being reviewed." Macy's is a company that values acceptance, respect, and integrity, and it does not tolerate discrimination of any type. But let's backtrack here for a second. As much as we see these stories of black people being wrongfully accused of stealing and whatnot at these retail chains, you have just as many, if not more, stories showing of them actually stealing stuff. So to say it's racial profiling or prejudice of any type is not racial profiling. It may be prejudice, but it's not racial profiling, especially when so many of your own people are actually committing these actions that they're accusing you of. Yes, you may in fact not be stealing anything, but because so many of your people have been, that is where the feeling comes into play. It's not because you're black. It's because you're black in the store and black people have been stealing in the store. It's because so many reports of black people stealing in the store have been put into the news. Now, if you want to blame somebody, don't blame Macy's corporate office. You can definitely blame the store employee themselves for not practicing restraint or not letting loss prevention deal with the matter or whatnot or checking your inventory, anything like that. You can definitely blame that, but you cannot blame the corporate franchise. You can also blame the media for the media focusing on how so many black people are, quote unquote, stealing from all these stores. You can definitely do that. Blame the media, blame the store employee, but the corporate franchise itself is not specifically saying, "Hey, make sure you look at these black folks, look at these black people, target these black people, make sure they're not stealing." Because more often than not, you'll actually find plenty of stories of white people stealing stuff too. There's a story just last week of a white woman in a store stealing glasses, sunglasses, shades. If you want to see that video, I can go ahead and put it up for you. The link will be in the description box. But the fact of the matter remains that we as black people have a preponderance of imagery that is displayed out there showing us as thugs, thieves, lowlifes, deplorables, and whatever you want to call it. That is what's happening. So they're going off of what they see. They're going off of what's being fed. So, I mean, you cannot say that an apple tree is going to bear oranges. The apple tree is going to bear apples because that's the seeds that were planted, apple seeds. So if seeds of shoplifting and other degradation when it comes to black people is being planted in the minds of so many. Those in retail are digesting what the media, what the news is putting out there. Those seeds are getting planted into their mind, in their soil, in the soil of their minds, and those seeds grow. So when they actually see a black person come into the store, they maybe look shifty, they may not look shifty, but because of what they've seen, what they've heard, what they've digested, that is what's going to come forth in real life. That's what's going to come forth in action. They've seen the stories, they've seen the reports, they've seen it. Blame the store employee if you want. Yes, the store employee should have probably practiced a little bit more restraint. The store employee should have been like, ma'am, I need you to wait here. Let me get the manager or a loss prevention to come have a talk with you. They should not play cop and detective or whatever and try to do it themselves. Definitely not. But the fact of the matter remains, we still have a problem as far as we as black people have an imagery that's out there that show us as thieves. Show us as people that steal stuff from stores. We rely on government assistance, and we rely on government assistance such as welfare, food stamps, and the like. And with the assistance that we receive, we actually manipulate and abuse that assistance, while the money that we actually do have, because we're trying to skirt the system, we take it and blow it on other stuff that we don't need, because we are basically getting what we need from the government so we can use our money to get what we want. And now on top of that, you have people that are receiving government assistance and receiving all this help and not even spending the money that they do get on things that they need. In fact, they're turning around and blowing the money on other stuff and things that they also do want that they may or may not have the money for. They go out and steal. Now, another thing is that, you know, there is the report, the imagery, the belief, that the statistic, maybe you want to call it. I don't know if that statistic still qualifies now in 2018, but a statistic saying that black women are worth $5. The average black woman is worth $5. But if you're worth $5, but you're still able to get $300 weaves in, $600 weaves in, you get the hair put in, you get the hair, you're doing this, you're wasting money on this, that, and the third, and then you have black women that still, even doing all that, they're going out robbing liquor stores, sticking liquor bottles in their pants, in their purse. You know, they walk around with big-ass purses when they go into the store, things like that. You have this imagery there. So you may want to call it racism, but in fact, it's really not racism. You can call it prejudice. It is prejudice. It is a bias towards what black people are doing. But I would not go so far as to call it racism because of the fact that there's just so much of that imagery there showing what black people are, in fact, doing in these stores. Black people, if you don't have the money, get the fuck out the store. If you don't have the money, get out the store. If you don't have the money, don't touch shit. You know, back when you were kids and you were with your parents, you were going and shopping, and your parents would say, hey, don't touch. If you ain't had the money, don't touch. Don't fucking touch it. It's not yours. If it ain't yours, don't touch it. You don't have the money to afford it. Don't touch it. Don't mess with it. Keep your hands to yourself. Keep your hands to yourself. Now, legal analyst Stephen Clark told KNTV that the stores are permitted to search purses and personal bags if they have probable cause to suspect theft, but employees are not permitted to remove a customer's clothing. So in this story right here, yes, the store employee is wrong for actually taking the sweater off Ms. Moore and trying to search her person. She is wrong for that. But what was her probable cause? Did she see Moore grab a bottle of cologne? Did she see or hear that she was going to take shit? Did she overhear Moore talking about stealing something? What was the probable cause for that store employee to want to accuse Moore of stealing, of shoplifting cologne? That part you won't hear in none of the news reports. So that is the question that needs to be asked. What was the probable cause that the store employee had to want to accuse Conte Moore of shoplifting cologne? I'm not saying Moore was right. I'm not saying Moore was wrong. I'm definitely saying